Up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each one here. Give a special blessing to each mother and each woman here today. May they know your blessing. May they see your hand on them. May they see you working in and through every aspect of their lives. And may you be glorified by that. Now, Father, I pray that you will carry this message your way for your glory. May each one of us be drawn to focus on you with our eyes and with our heart. And in our spirit, Father, may we recognize you touching us. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, now that you're all comfortable, let's please stand. And I'm going to read the scriptures. Okay? We're going to have a reading of the word. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased, and the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." May God bless this word. You may be seated. I want to go over just a few things before I progress into the message outline. First of all, the mother of these two sons, Zebedee's wife, of course, she came asking something from Jesus. Now, you have to understand, women were not respected, were not acknowledged. They weren't even counted in censuses. They were in the background. And so for this woman to step out and to go before Jesus and to ask something from him was very, very impressive. She had the courage, but she also had the love for her sons to step out on their behalf. And so how many mothers step out on their behalf for their children and pray for them and ask God to direct them or to help them or to intervene in their lives? And of course, Jesus is always there to respond to us because he says, "What do you wish?" I love that. The fact that he's not closing the door in any way. And so she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." And so that was a bold statement for her. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. And of course, she knew, I believe she knew, that there was a responsibility with that. The interesting thing about that is that how did she know that there would be one on the right of Christ, one would sit on the right of Christ in his kingdom, and one who would sit on the left? And yet she knew this. And of course, Jesus responded that it wasn't his authority to put the person on the right and on the left of his throne when he reigns on earth. But it was the authority of the Father to do that. But she wanted her kids to be there. And so the men, the 10 disciples that were left, were, of course, angry. But I'm still kind of wondering, why were they angry at the two other disciples, the sons of the mother? Okay, why were they upset with them? The mother asked the question, not the sons. And yet I would figure that the reason is because the mother talked to the sons about going up to talk to Jesus about this very subject, and they didn't discourage her from doing so, is at least my speculation. But Jesus says something very, very important here. He says, "You know what? If you're going to be great, if you're going to sit on either side of me, or you're just going to be great in my kingdom, you have to do like I do. You have to be a servant. You have to come not to be served, but to serve. And that's the opposite of the way of the world. The way of the world says just the opposite. That's why Jesus was referring to the Gentile leaders in the world, that this is not common. But if you want to be great, you must be humble and serve others. And so I praise God and thank God for the passage of Scripture here, because there's some real value in it. But the question I have for you is, how do you view the mother of these two disciples? Because most people view her as presumptuous. How dare you think that you could go to Jesus and ask that your two children can sit at the right and the left of Jesus when he sits on his throne and reigns on earth? I mean, some people just take offense to that. They think that's terrible, and they scorn her. But I want to encourage you to think about something else. I believe that we shouldn't take what she did negatively, but admirably. And we're going to look at that, because there's some real value in what she was asking, and as well as the intellect that she had, or the understanding that she had for what she was asking. And so let's look at her again as a woman that is to be admired for what she did. So a good mother wants the best for her children. This mother asked Jesus to let her children be a part of his kingdom. Tell me, which one of you as moms, Christian moms in particular, don't want your children saved? How many of us as parents wait and we see our kids growing and we're waiting for the time when they start asking questions about spiritual things? And then they start getting more serious about spiritual matters. And then you're able to share the gospel with them, and maybe you lead them to Christ. How wonderful is that? Or someone else leads them to Christ. But oftentimes it stops there. Well, I know my child is saved and received Christ, therefore I know they're going to heaven, therefore I don't have to worry about it no more, and that's all I care about. And we know that people think that too. I'm saved, I got my life insurance in my pocket. When I die, I'm going to heaven. But she wanted the best for her children. She wanted the security of knowing that they were in the kingdom of God. And again, she wanted to know that her sons were saved. And so every Christian mother desires her children's salvation. You know that, and I know that. And so this was a commendable and admirable request made before Jesus. So how many of you moms out there have asked or continue to ask the same thing for your children? As a pastor, I know that there are women in our church, moms in our church, that are brokenhearted and praying for their children, praying for them to come to the Lord, praying for them to surrender their lives to the Lord by maybe they're saved and they've chosen a different path. And their hearts are broken, because moms know that if they're not following Jesus, if they're not saved, that's awful. And if they're not following Jesus, then they're missing out on what God intends for them in life, what God created them for. And so the mother of these two disciples, obviously, went back to continue to ask Jesus. And she was in dialogue with him about what she wanted for her children. She wanted that her children would sit on the right and the left of Jesus and his kingdom. But don't you think that this mother knew that by asking that it wasn't just for pompous arrogance, but it was something that she understood that required a great price? First, it required that her sons would be committed to Jesus. Because would Jesus or God the Father appoint her sons on the right and the left of Jesus on his throne if they weren't committed and sold out for Jesus? Absolutely not. And so she knew that they needed to live a life committed to serving God. She wasn't satisfied with the fact that their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be removed. She wasn't satisfied with the fact that they were simply saved, and when they died, they went to heaven. She wanted her sons to be committed to Jesus. Committed to him, surrendered to him, following him. This is a commendable and admirable request of their mother, isn't it? You know, I want them to be on either side of you. I know that takes commitment, and I know that that takes a surrender to you as well. And so this mother wasn't strictly interested in the salvation of her sons, but that her sons would actively serve Christ. To me, our kids, when we're blessed, our kids are all saved. But our prayer is that they discover the path that God has for them. And they follow Jesus. And they have that life full of the richness of the knowledge of Christ applied to their life and following Christ. They become those children that are surrendered to Jesus, that say, Lord, we want to follow the path and the plan you have for our lives, and we give our lives to you as a living sacrifice. And so I know that we're not alone in praying for our children that way as Christians. We want our children to be surrendered to God. So a life surrendered to God is required to have such authority and power when reigning in God's kingdom from either side of Christ's throne. Let's say it another way. When reigning in God's kingdom from either side of Christ's throne, a life must be surrendered to the authority and power of God. So she knew that if they're going to have this great honor, this great position, this great recognition on either side of Jesus, that they had to yield to the authority and power of Jesus in their life as the Lord of their life. Now, when we yield to the authority of God, that's saying that I recognize that you are the one that has the upper hand on my life. I recognize that you are the one that I have given my life to. I recognize that you have the perfect plan for my life to be used for your glory. And I will surrender to your authority, not my own. I will not dig my heels in the ground and say that this is my way and or else no way. But I will commit to God in every way that God wants me to be committed to him and yielding to his authority. But the other part of that is that they would also rely on the power of God in their life. God, by his authority, would never give a direction, never give a purpose, never give a calling without the empowerment to do what God wants them to do. Acts 1:8 said we have the power of God to go out and to be the people that God wants us to be. And so surely she knew that she wanted her sons to be these faithful servants of God. She wanted her sons to be godly Christian men serving him. That's admirable. That was a heart that she had. That's what helped her to step out of the crowd, out of the culture, out of the social norm, and present herself in front of Jesus on her knees and ask for this. That took courage, but more than courage, it took love for her sons. She knew also that they would have to have a life willing to suffer greatly for the kingdom of God. Surely she saw the life of Jesus. Surely she heard the stories that were going on, the events that had taken place, not just the miracles that Jesus did, but also the persecution that he was receiving from his own people. And so the price of standing for Christ is one that is willing to suffer greatly. It wasn't that she was looking at this as suffer a little bit, but that she was willing that they would suffer to whatever degree that God wanted them to suffer. And we know in the passage of Scripture that Jesus said, you know, he asked them, are you able to drink of the cup that I drank? I thought it was pretty strange for them to say, yes, I am. They don't even know what's in the cup. Right? We don't know what the future holds. Right? But they said, we're willing to drink the cup. We're willing to take whatever things you have us to take on in you. And Jesus said, hey, you know what? I can't tell you if you're going to sit on the right or the left of my throne, but I will tell you, you will drink your cup. And these men were persecuted, and they were martyred for the sake of Jesus. They suffered greatly. She also knew that it required a life of total sacrificial living, giving completely of oneself, not willing to claim anything as her own, all they have and all that they are is surrendered to God. Think about a Christian mom wanting their kids saved, wanting them to serve God, and trusting God and putting them in His hands to say, whatever God has for my children, I want, even if it requires sacrifice and suffering. That's not an easy thing to do. If my kids were called overseas in mission work, one side of me would be excited about that. The other side of me would be distressed about it. And I'm sure God would give the grace. But whatever the case might be, I have to be willing, and moms have to be willing to let go and trust God with their children. And that's what she was also wanting for her children, that they would live those sacrificial lives for Christ. So would you say that's an admirable woman? Absolutely, because we want to hold on. And she's saying, I want the best for my children. And the best is always found in the opportunities of Jesus. She didn't seek her own ego, right? But she had big expectations. Tell me what mom doesn't have, a good mom, does not have great expectations for their children. That doesn't see their children and the potential that they have, even when they don't see the potential. Great expectations. I remember my mother, she was always introducing to me different career fields to consider. But when she saw that I became serious about my calling into ministry, and she wasn't saved at the time, she finally relented. And she gave me this little cutout, and she laminated it, and she said, work for the Lord is cheap, but the rewards are out of this world. And so, you know, she's saying, you know, I recognize that your calling may be demanding and sacrificial, but your faithfulness is reward in heaven. She wasn't a Christian. But out of her love for me, seeing my heart and the direction that God was leading me and the direction I wanted to go, as I believed I ought to, she supported that. And she encouraged that. Because a mother wants the very best for her children. But the best opportunities in this life are found in Christ. Are they not? Yeah. Because really, everything that the world has to offer our children doesn't compare to everything that God has for them. The things that we can dream for ourselves don't compare to the plans that God has for us. Yeah. God says, I come to not to harm you, but to prosper you. Prosperity is defined in different ways. Because many Christians have suffered and suffered horrible things for the cause of Christ. And yet they had great prosperity because their faith was surmountable and was relentless, I should say. And those are great, great, great rewards. So Jesus is the giver of life, for He Himself is life, the true eternal giver of life. And so if we're praying, if moms, if you're praying for your children to give themselves over to God, then you're asking God to give them the best life that He has for them. And that's what you want. That's what we as parents want. And so the mother of these two disciples did not want her sons to live a mediocre, standardized life. In our terminology, this mother did not want her children just to have a solid career, a house, two cars, and a boat, and a bank account that's solid. Nice. But her goal was that they would become men that serve Christ, and that God would honor them with great honor. I mean, wow, could you imagine being in heaven with your children and having God honor them before everybody else? Would your heart not just bust open with pride and thankfulness and gratitude to Jesus? She wanted the very best for her children. And so she wanted them to be great Christian men. She wanted them to be great Christian leaders in Christ's kingdom work. So therefore, her requests were not presumptuous and arrogant and prideful, as we've seen and heard many times as we've looked at this passage. But her requests were admirable because she was willing to sacrifice all that she was, the giving of her children, for Jesus. Praise God for that. So what are your prayers and desires for your children? Are they simply a life of success and good health in this world? Those are good things. Or are they a life of success in God's eyes that reaches into eternity? Wow. Success that reaches into eternity. That's powerful. That's awesome. So a mother's prayer is most powerful. I want to challenge you moms in particular, but it applies to us guys too. That your prayers are most powerful and effective when you walk a genuine life of righteousness in Christ. I think this woman had a great fear for God, a great respect for God, and a love for God, a love for Jesus that said, you know what, I see you. I believe she was a New Testament believer in Christ. And as she knelt before Jesus, it's the same as kneeling before him in our prayer time. And she asked of these things, right? But the key to an effective, prayerful life is our walk with Christ in righteousness. A mother's heart can be just as sincere as ever. But if it's not walking with Jesus, it's not as powerful as it could be. And so James 5:16, the very last part of that verse says, an effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that word man is mankind. It's for all men, women, boys, and girls. That when you walk with Jesus, you have an effective prayer life that produces much. So as this woman yielded to Christ and prayed for these things for her children, her heart, I believe, was genuine with God. And her example is for you as wives and as mothers and for all of us to have a right heart before Jesus and to surrender what he calls us to surrender. I want to read to you, not read to you, but go over a true story with you. It's called A Mother Never Gives Up on Praying. Would you say that's true? I would hope so. I would think so. And I assume so, right? That a mother never gives up on praying because she loves her children. This one mother had a son by the name of Gus who was at college, and he discovered a new way of life that was different from his small town morality and his thinking. It was an enlightenment, and he became aware in his own thinking that, and through his own studies, that the scriptures were shallow and they were self-contradictory. Well, his mother was horrified by that reality. That she saw her son facing a direction that was going in the wrong direction. And so she intensified her prayer on behalf of her son, Gus. When she made attempts to talk to her son, it always ended up in failure. Every night she prayed for a soul. In fact, during his time of her faithfulness, her husband received Christ as his Savior. You'd think that wouldn't impact her son. And then her husband died suddenly, shortly after that. So it put the mother in a place where she had to work extra hard and sacrifice a lot to continue sending her son to the university so he can get the degree that he wanted to get. But during that time, he met his girlfriend. They moved into the house. They lived together. And she said, you know, son, you can't live in sin. This is wrong. And he did not want to hear what she had to say. By the time he graduated and became a professor, he was a father of a son. He was still unmarried, refused to get married, and continued to have a very dim view of the Christian faith. But something happened one day. Remember the fervent prayer of his mother. Her diligent effort to plant seed and to stand firm on the truth of God's word finally was starting to show the powerful effect of that, because she was walking with Christ in righteousness and power, effective prayer through that righteousness. And suddenly her son, with vivid clarity, felt this impulse that he needed to go and read his Bible. He picked up his Bible and he read the verses in Romans 13 through 14. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. And it was like a brilliant light cutting through the darkness of his soul, and he saw the truth, if you will, and he received Christ and surrendered his life to him. And he was so excited, he ran to his closest buddy, told him what happened, shared the verse with his buddy, and his buddy asked Jesus into his heart too. True story. But can you imagine the joy overflowing in his mother? Constant prayer, constant endeavor to plant the seed and stand on truth and be the example. And she praised God for what God had done in her son's life. Is that a picture of a mother who sacrifices? A mother in pain that never gives up on faith and prayer and the power of it, but continues steadfastly because of her love for her children? That's a godly mother. Amen. And that's what the challenge is. So mothers, don't stop praying. Because I can imagine this woman would think, gee, what's the use? But don't stop praying. Be the mothers God wants you to be. Walk in righteousness. Trust in the power of God to work in your children's lives. And praise God for blessing you with your children. Pray for their souls to be saved, that they would serve God fervently. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. I always like to remind you ladies, you may have your own children. You may have stepchildren. You may have your nieces and nephews. You may have the children that are in your lives that you influence. There's something special about the warmth and the love and the care of a woman over children. And so may God bless you and encourage you to be all that God would have you to be. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope that you give us through your word and through testimony. Thank you, Father, for the depth of a mother's love for her children as we read in the scriptures. And I ask, Father, please, that you will help each mother here, each father here, and each Christian person here to walk in righteousness, to have a powerful prayer life, that they see the effects of their prayers being accomplished for your glory. And I pray that whatever children, whatever people are brought into the path of our lives, that you will shine through us to touch them for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com. And tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.